your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, your humble correspondent, Eric A. Sinati, Eric Andrew Sinati, Eric Sinati, coming at you, as always, right here on the Hostile Zone. If you're watching on your TV screen, the ticker on the bottom has all of the contact information to reach us. If you're at home, you can reach us at The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com, The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com, or Eric at thehostilezone.com, Eric at thehostilezone.com, or you can also get Bianca C-S-E-A, like the ocean, at bbstalkradio.com, at bbstalkradio.com, Bianca C-S-E-A, who is not with us again this evening, who is getting closer to finishing her recording, and we are patiently looking forward to her back on the show. If you are here, I thank you folks for coming and spending another hour with me. I really appreciate it, and I hope that you get something out of this. I pull back that curtain, and I call it like it is, and I give you the real facts as I get them. I present them to you. I provide you the information and the facts. You make the decision. I don't decide. You decide. Okay, folks, welcome to the show. Today we're going to discuss something very important. We're going to do a dive into a rapidly developing situation that you may have you've heard of, but you're not seeing a lot of information on it, but it's important. It's a situation unfolding in Venezuela. Now, if you've been a fan of this show for the little over a year and a half we've been on the air, you've heard me bring up Venezuela several times in other episodes. You've heard me bring up Cuba, and with them. And you've heard me mention Russia as part of that. There's something going on here between them. I've been saying that for a while. So as of now, this is what we know. That there's the detainment of six foreigners in Venezuela. Six people have been taken into custody by the authorities in Venezuela, three of which are United States citizens. Venezuela is claiming that they were attempting to sabotage, maybe espionage, basically pitting against wrongful things being done against Venezuela. And it's really kind of a lot of sketchiness going on here. You know, they're listed as humanitarian workers. Okay, there's a lot of speculation being stated out there, and I'm really having a hard time even trying to explain this because there's so much dis and misinformation potentially out there. But there's a pressing question: are these people hostages or not? What is going on here? They're humanitarian workers. There's people alleging that they were attempting to overthrow the government or potentially even assassinate the president, or the president that Venezuela claims, I'm air quoting, as the president that won the election, Maduro. There's no actual facts of this. There's statements that the U.S. intelligence is involved in that, and they are part of an intelligence operation in the intelligence community. There is no evidence to support that right now. And we on this show, and I, your humble correspondent, am not going to say anything like that. As far as we understand, they are out there where they're on a humanitarian mission and may not even all be together. There was humanitarian stuff going on because there's problems with the people and, you know, there's uprisings, et cetera, around the nation, as well as there are a lot of NGOs, non-governmental organizations like nonprofits providing services over there. So they might be connected to that. They may also even be on vacation, or if you're in one of our European people, on holiday, as you would call it. So is there really a darker motive at play? As always here on the Hostile Zone, we're going to try to break this down and not create speculation. We're going to try to pull. I'm going to extrapolate truth from this as much as I can, and I'm going to give it to you. But first, we got to start the show off with our relevant famous quote. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Martin Luther King. Now, I've used that quote before on this show. If you're a fan of the show, you're going to say, I've heard Sinati say that quote. But I just found it was a good quote. So don't beat me up for using it 2 times in maybe 6 months. This quote reminds us about the detention of these humanitarian workers, regardless of their nationality. It undermines the very fabric of global justice and democracy. Global justice and democracy. Because if indeed they were there on a humanitarian purpose, then why are they locked up? Is that an injustice? That's for us to unpack and decide together. With that, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. Help us pay for the show. Come right back.
At the Ram Round Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Das ist eine ganz normale Stadt. Hier leben die ganz normalen Platz. Also das bin ich. Okay, können wir noch ein bisschen... Okay, stopp. Eins zurück. Perfekt. Also das bin ich.
Ist ganz eng.
Und wegen meiner so offensichtlich sorglosen Erscheinung ahnt ihr es vermutlich schon. Es wird gleich was Schlimmes passieren.
Wanda würde nie einfach abhauen. Einfach so, bis wir handfeste Beweise haben.
Sie wurde entführt.
Wanda! Was, wenn wir sie nicht finden, müssen wir einfach.
Meine Kleine, ich darf sie nicht verlieren.
Wir durchsuchen alle Häuser in der Umgebung, bis wir sie finden. Wanda!
Hey, was machst du denn? Hast du noch nie einen Krimi gesehen?
Okay. Was war dein Plan?
Hallo, ich hatte gerade eine Autopanne. Habt ihr vielleicht ganz kurz bei Ihnen telefonieren?
Hallo, ich bin Parker Schäfer.
Ich habe gerade eine tiefe Glaubenskrise.
Stopp!
Mama, Papa, mach das nicht so boomermäßig.
Nicht in irgendwie behilflich sein.
Naja, wir suchen nach Aufnahmegeräten.
Was wollen Sie denn damit machen?
Für Podcast.
Unterschätzen Sie nicht, wie sehr Wandas Schicksal ganz Sundersheim nahe geht.
Wanda!
Was machen Sie denn da?
Oh mein Gott.
Wir haben alle Geheimnisse. Geheimnisse, dass jemand anders gerade lüften will.
Ja, und jetzt runter.
Kalata, siehst du was?
Welcome back, folks. Thank you very much. As we were just talking prior to the break, we were discussing Venezuela and 6 people being detained by the Venezuelan government. 3 of which are Americans. So let's break this down. Let's get some talking points here, and let's unpack and see what we can find here. So here's the situation. On September 15, 2024, 6 foreigners, including 3 Americans, were arrested by the Venezuelan government. This much we do know. Charges include conspiring to destabilize the Central American country, claims of which the U.S. government adamantly denies. The U.S. government is claiming no involvement, responsibility, nor knowledge or foreknowledge of this particular claim. The world is watching as the scrutiny and tensions rise, and it's bubbling. Probably why you're not hearing it on many mainstream news outlets. Maybe that might be a reason, because nobody really knows what to say and where this conversation might take us. But on this show, we don't care. We're going to take the conversation where it goes. So according to the Interior Minister, Sabello, Interior Minister Sabello of Venezuela, claims that the detainees conspired to sabotage infrastructure and had direct links to foreign intelligence agencies. So let's break that a little bit. So to sabotage the infrastructure, that's a very broad statement backed up by zero proof, backed up with no statements and no evidence here. I'm very interested to see how they are going to intend to prove that. That's why I said, are they hostages in the beginning or are they detainees? Detainees would have been somebody that has potentially committed a crime, and the hostage might be just is somebody that didn't do anything and an enemy or whatever takes you and technically detains you, imprisons you, but you're not there for violating a crime. You're there because of who you are. So then that would therefore fall under definition of a hostage. So Venezuela officials have emphasizing that this part is part of a broader plot against the country's sovereignty. Now, this is an interesting part because there's been, you know, they mentioned the country's sovereignty and their political stuff and their democracy and all that. Well, you know what? They have a lot of problems in-house going on. Hence the reason why there are NGOs providing humanitarian services on the ground in that nation, because they are not the most diplomatic sovereign nation as they might be portraying themselves to be right now. They are not the victim. They're not a victim. We're not calling them an offender on anything right now, but they have not engaged in some of the best activities, and they clearly are not best friends with the United States. And yes, we discussed this in plenty of episodes. They do have some sort of relationship with Russia, potentially China. There's a lot of geopolitical stuff going on, and that's the bigger, broader discussion here. Humanitarian aid and diplomatic denials. The United States and NATO sources confirmed, which I spoke with some, confirmed that the detainees over there were private citizens on a humanitarian mission, not involved or connected to any attempt of espionage or to overthrow the government or to hurt the government in any way. This is what the United States is saying. There's no credible information that's been presented to anybody to say different than what is being said here. And I want to make sure that anybody that's listening or watching the show, that this is not related to us. This is an attempt to muddy the waters between us and other nations. This is just a ploy for us to fall into a trap, and we need to pay attention to that. What we need to do is find out who the NGOs that they work for, so they could come out and potentially show documentation or proof of what it is they were doing. Because we do know there's been ongoing humanitarian efforts in Venezuela, which involves various international groups distributing food, medical supplies, and much needed services. This we know. This is fact. So now what we have to do is somebody, maybe us on this show, another show, needs to find out who the international NGOs, non-governmental organizations, or organizations, whatever you want to call them, nonprofits, whatever, that are actually providing services in Venezuela. That's the key. But we haven't heard that yet. And I don't think you've seen that on any other outlet. No one's really discussing that. I wrote a story on this about 3 days ago. It's syndicated. It's been out. And, you know, it's gotten some traction. I've gotten some calls and emails. But I'm wondering who's quelling the conversation here on this. So there are global diplomatic efforts clearly at this point. Again, which is why I'm wondering why you're not, or you and I are not hearing about that consistently on online, on social media, or on any of the mainstream news outlets. So that leads me to wonder. The United Nations and NATO continue to push for the detainees to be released through diplomatic channels. So what is a diplomatic channel? That is a good discussion. It's really interesting because what do they mean by a diplomatic channel? Are they meaning that there'll be a negotiation, like a quid pro quo, this for that, that they want, somebody wants something from the United States, and this will be the way to get that? But the interesting part is three of them are American citizens. The others are not. Spain and Czech Republic are also involved because the other three are Spain and Czech. So you have to really ask yourself, would the United States, would we be working with people from Czech Republic and Spain in our intelligence network, whether it be affiliated or non-affiliated intelligence personnel? Would we be working with other nations like that to get at President Maduro or the Venezuela at large? I mean, I find that to be very, very far reach that the United States would work with Spain and the Czech Republic to overthrow a government. Now, I'm not saying that these people, what they did or they didn't do, we don't know. So if they did something on their own and made a decision on a conscious decision on their own, that is not the responsibility of the United States. That is not to be taken out on the American people nor on the rest of the world. That would be no different than somebody here in the United States committing something against us. You're committing any kind of crime. It's not a nation, it's a person. But we here on this show, we're not saying that they committed any crime. We don't know if they're a detainee or a hostage. We don't know. But what we do know is it's very unlikely that the intelligence communities of the United States, at least, were involved in this effort. With that, folks, we're going to take a short break. Come right back, all right? We're going to unpack a little more and try to find out what we can. Don't go anywhere.
On you, boy, since the world ended.
But remember,
one touch without a rope on is all it takes.
Remind the house what we deserve is protection.
Oh, blessed house of ancient wood, shelter to the pure and good.
We'll keep you bright and never wrong. Heaven is here within our home.
Did it touch you?
Safe.
Oh, blessed house of ancient wood, shelter to the pure and clear. We'll keep you bright and never wrong. Heaven is here within our home. We're the world now.
Heaven is here within our home.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. Thank you very much. As we were discussing prior to the break, we were talking about Venezuela. Now we're going to talk about, and I'm going to, I go back and forth with the using the word detainee or hostage. At this point, we're going to just go with detainee, because that could be more of a broad sense. This we'll find out more as we go, as more intelligence and more information gets disseminated. But the detainees are being held in Caracas military facility under watch of U.S. diplomats and human rights organizations. Now, here's the question. They're being held at a military facility in Caracas, not a federal or civilian penitentiary, jail, holding cell. No, they're at a military facility. That's key. Hold that thought in your head, folks. Military facility. Now, maybe that's how they operate all their jails, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it operates. If somebody, John Q. Public in Venezuela were to be arrested and brought up on whatever charges it might be, they would go to a jail or a prison if they were convicted, et cetera, whatever. But would it be a military facility? That is the key word. Sometimes you have to read between the lines, folks. And that's what I try to do on this show. I try to read between the lines because sometimes one word will change an entire paragraph. One word can change an entire show. One word changes an entire character of somebody. So this word here is military. Not a correctional facility, not a detention facility, specifically a military facility. Keyword military. And the other word, other part is under the watch of U.S. diplomats and human rights organizations. So read between the lines again. U.S. diplomats, are they actually in there watching them? Or have they had access to them? And if they did, what information have they found out? And what is it that we don't know? The other question is human rights organizations. That I find fascinating because if that be the case, which human rights organizations are they saying are looking over these detainees? And are these human rights organizations that were indeed looking over this, were these people involved in that similar organization who was providing services to that nation? The civil rights organizations or human rights organizations are considered NGOs, non-governmental organizations, which would be considered humanitarian, like hence the word human rights organizations. So again, read between the lines, extrapolate if you will, but I'm going to relook at that and say it's a military facility and human rights organizations are allegedly checking on them so to make sure that they are falling within guidelines. Now, there are I fall into a sea hole. There are international laws that govern how you would treat somebody in a foreign country who is a foreign national should they be charged. So the concerns linger over the conditions of the detention, despite Venezuela's assurances that they've adhered to all international legal standards. What are the international legal standards? I mean, generally, you want to treat people with human dignity. They need food, water, shelter. They need to sleep. Potentially not torture. To contact somebody, they should be able to reach out to somebody here in the United States. They should be able to communicate with an attorney of some sort. It's very interesting because the international law is very hard to enforce. And everybody has been involved in, all these major countries have been involved in conflicts in different countries. And it's always questions in which the way detainees are treated. So it's very, very broad subject. And violations have occurred in every conflict and pretty much everywhere. I'm not pointing finger or blaming on anybody, but is somebody really looking out in there and who enforces these? Now, the United Nations is supposed to be part of that, NATO, et cetera. They're supposed to be part of that. But really, they only have as much power as the nation that they're going after gives them. We don't have to answer. We don't answer to the United Nations. And no country really answers to the United Nations, technically. I mean, they're a guiding body. Yes, if they put United Nations, if they put some kind of conditions or sanctions against you, yes, other countries that participate in United Nations and NATO, et cetera, and we have cooperative agreements, trade agreements, et cetera, then if you're not following these conditions or international standards, legal standards, they might not do business with you. There might be some kind of monetary, sanction placed against the nation or whatever, but it's not like violating the law in a country where there's a whole process to go through. Yeah, there's an international court and stuff, but you don't really see this very often. With that, we're going to take another break, folks, and we're going to dig in a little bit deeper. kind of wrap this into something that you can take a hold of and maybe go somewhere with it. And maybe you can help me sending in an email and or calling in and giving some information that you may think or your opinion, because we care about your opinion. I do read your emails. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Agatha.
Who's been messing up everything?
The Covenless Witch.
It's been Agatha all along.
No.
What really happened to you?
Seekest thou the road to all that's foul and fair?
She took every little bit of power I had.
Gather sisters fire.
I'm assembling a coven.
We gotta get back on top. I'm gonna walk the road. Join me.
Darkest hour, wake thy power, earthly and divine.
The Witch's Road will give you the thing you want most, if you make it to the end.
The road is a death wish.
Heard you guys were having a party.
So,
hey.
Shall we?
It will test us and our knowledge of the craft.
We don't even know what we're up against.
Our worst nightmares.
How do we pass this trial without any power?
We survive, like witches have been doing for centuries.
What happens next?
I just need these witches to get me to the end.
The bodies are really piling up.
Why do you let them believe those things about you?
Because the truth is too awful.
I want my prize!
Time to finish the road.
Last one there is a nice person.
Follow me, my friend, to glory.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Hostile Zone with your humble correspondent, Eric A. Sinati. Thank you for following through with us. We have been discussing the situation that's unfolding in Venezuela. It's a sensitive situation, I think, in my opinion, because there are three Americans, three other nationals that we know of so far, but the push to connect this to the intelligence community and to the United States is alarming. It's alarming. And because of mis and disinformation, and if we ran an episode on that a couple months ago, the difference between misinformation and disinformation. So in the quick statement, misinformation is information that's not true, that people, you know, kind of like playing telephone in kindergarten. Somebody whispers a sentence in my ear and then I whisper to the next person. And by the time it gets around the circle to the last person, it's a completely different sentence. That would be misinformation, folks. Meaning nobody intentionally changed that. I mean, assuming that everybody followed the way the game is supposed to be played, telephone. Assuming everybody did it like that, then that would be misinformation, the last person. They didn't intentionally change the sentence. The sentence slightly changed as everybody's brain put a little bit of their perspective into it. So it's no longer news. It's news with a little spin. And I say spin, not in like somebody tried to set you up, just because everybody repeats things in the way that they speak. And so everybody has opinions. We all have opinions. We all know that everybody has them. Not everybody want to hear your opinion. You may not want to give your opinion to everybody. But believe it or not, your opinion comes out in everything that we do in life. The way we speak, the verbiage that we utilize. The verbiage, literally like I said before the commercial, one word changes an entire sentence, could change an entire book. You could read the book, The Art of War, and change a couple of the sentences in the first chapter, and you could change the whole book. So one word is key here, but just like I was saying, misinformation is when the information just changed and it really wasn't intentional. And generally that's because people were speaking and they, not intentionally, provided their own opinion a little bit in the way they recited the words. Whereas disinformation, D-I-S, information, is a direct, I guess, lie, maybe you want to call it a lie, or providing an alternative, some people might say an alternative truth or an alternative position than what is there already. That would be disinformation because they know straight up that this is what is actually on paper and they provided you a different piece of information. And generally it is for a nefarious purpose, you know, like overthrowing a government or messing with a foreign election, messing with an election here in the United States. We know back in 2016 and 20 and 2020 elections, there was a lot of information coming around on social media and you don't really know what's true. And we say this on the show all the time. I'm going to say it again. Don't believe everything you read on social media and don't believe everything you find on Google, Bing, or DuckDuckGo, whatever internet search provider you're using. Don't believe everything. Fact check, look a little bit, do a little research on your own. Because there's that's what's alarming to me. That's what I see in this entire story. The whole crux of this story to Eric Cernotti is this is putting a nation in a bad spot. It's placing us in a bad spot because people are going to look and say, is the United States interfering in a foreign government? We're not. There's no evidence to say we are. I haven't even seen a shred of information on that. I've spoken with several people. I've spoken with people on the ground and people in D.C. personally. There's no mayonnaise on the sandwich here. There's not even any bread. There might be a piece of cheese in there, but that's it. This is not a complete sentence, not a complete sandwich, not a meal. We're unpacking kind of a little bit of not sure. That's what we're going to call it, a little bit of what's going on. But what it does say is we need to be vigilant at all times because sometimes the way to take down a country or to take down your enemy is to go after the enemy of your enemy, is your friend, we said, or to engage other people like Iran's been doing in with the proxy stuff, air quoting again if you're not watching, where they were attacking, the Somalis were attacking cargo ships. If you remember, we did plenty of episodes on that. That would be a proxy using somebody else to do your dirty work for you. Is this an opportunity for, let's say, Russia to do something to the United States or North Korea to do something to the United States or China to do something to the United States? Since these are hot areas right now, let's not forget what's going on with Israel and with Hamas and Palestine and Hezbollah. I mean, and then we got the ISIS person that we talked about on another episode. There is so much geopolitical stuff going on across the board that you have to ask yourself, is what we're talking about here actually real? Or is it just some fictitious nonsense that's put out there intentionally to discredit the United States? Because here's the thing. If you want to hurt somebody, whether it be a nation or an individual, if they have something to say and they actually have some meat behind their punch and they have information and they are a threat to you, what do? You don't confront them one-on-one. We don't want to go to a war. They don't want to go to a war with us. We don't want to go to war with anybody. Or if it's happening in a personal level, nobody wants to physically have a problem with somebody. So what do? You destroy their credibility and their character. That's like number one. That is like first day in intelligence school, first day in any kind of training. That you discredit the enemy and you discredit whoever it is in your way. That's what they do. They discredit people's character, people's image. So this way, when they speak or they do something, they they're like, oh, this person is that, or this country is that. America always does this, does that, does this. So if you accuse us of doing this when it's not happening, other nations that have confidence in us and other nations that we might be working with, maybe we'll step back. And then who wins? Whoever set this conversation up. Because then that's people now backing away potentially from the United States saying, hey, we don't want to go near that. And then we maybe then have a rift between some allies or people that or nations that we work with in a cooperative manner that may not want to be attached to this information or disinformation or misinformation, whatever you want to call it. So this is like textbook stuff here. If somebody is a threat, you ruin their credibility. End of the line. That's what you do. You destroy their credibility. You put as much information out negative about them as possible. You go attack them, find any way possible to hurt them. So this way they can't do what it is they were trying to do because you maybe don't want them to do it or you're threatened by them. Same thing with a nation. We have a lot of stuff going on around the world geopolitically now. And the United States, it's a hotbed topic everywhere. And we are kind of dumped into the middle of it right now. We're having a leadership struggle in our nation that everybody is aware of. We have issues and we have an election coming up in a month or so, a little over a month. And you got to ask yourself, is this something that is going to be problematic or bring us to a position of it actually affecting our elections or our relations with other nations that we have built bonds with and whatever, people that we work with, whether it be openly or not. This kind of stuff makes people nervous for the right reason. I mean, if you believe that, if you truly believe that the United States, that CIA and other intelligence agencies actually were doing this, then you have to be looking at yourself, you have to be nervous and saying, what's going on? Because now we're doing something that is going to affect a lot of people. And I just think that that is not accurate. This was a rush to judgment on Venezuela's part. And that's polite. I'm basically calling it a rush to judgment because I'm being polite. I'm actually, want to know the real deal? They just threw this out there. I won't even say a rush. It was thrown out there probably because somebody else is pushing it, saying it needs to go out. I speculate that Russia has something to do with this. Just a speculation. You heard it here on this show. I'm not making accusations. I'm just wondering if their connection with Russia and communications that we know happened, Russia was just in Cuba with their ships and submarines in Cuba like a month ago. And there may have been, and that's right across the ocean there, there may have been some conversation with Venezuela. I don't know, but we're going to try to get to the bottom of that. Not going to happen in one episode, but we're going to work on that. But don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break, come back, and try to wrap this up somehow. I don't want to leave you with a poof in your head, puff, boom, where I go. So I'm going to try to wrap it around and bring it home for you. Don't go anywhere. Come right back.
One filmmaker has always been ahead of his time.
Time stop!
Go. Now. From visionary writer and director Francis Ford Coppola comes an event nothing can prepare you for.
Imagine today's society as a branch of civilization about to reach a dead end. Is this way we're living the only one that's available to us? My plan is a city that people can dream about.
Megalopolis.
What about those standing in your way?
Power the people!
You like it the way it is.
People don't need dreams. People need help now.
Don't let the now destroy the forever.
We're in need of a great debate about the future.
Enjoy the show.
One, two, three. Yippee-yay.
There's still so much to accomplish, but is there time? Go.
Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today. Acorns.com/share. Or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen. Or enter my referral code, 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC. And get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. Your humble correspondent, Eric A. Sonati, right here on The Hostile Zone, iHeartRadio, FM. We're everywhere. Okay, so we were talking a lot about what's going on in Venezuela. And then I kind of see-holed it, or Sonati-holed it, into a conversation more about geopolitical. And for those of you that don't know what geopolitical means, I'm talking about geography, like a map. And political meaning the politics. So geopolitical meaning the political situation geographically located around the world. That's all that word means. I just wanted to put that out there because maybe not everyone understood that word. But we ended up on a whole thing about that. And I can do that sometimes, going off on a tangent or a seahole, as we like to call it here on this show. But I felt it'd be very important because if this was an attempt to kind of hurt the United States in a way, or to discredit and hurt our credibility and our character by accusing our involvement in the potential assassination or overthrow of a government, then that is a problem. That's something that we need to address. And that maybe I wonder why not every news outlet is running wild on this story. I think this is an important story. Regardless if they are involved in whatever, there are three Americans that are being held in a foreign country in a military facility. I'm throwing that word in there again. Military facility. I've got to say that word again a third time. Military facility. They're not being detained in, a regular prison jail. But this is what was said. Now, do they use that old military? I don't know. But again, I just got to ask myself, and I tell you folks, read deeper, read between the lines. As we observe, the tensions are really growing. Whether or not you're hearing it on the news or you're seeing it, or if you know, on the ground, the tensions are building, and it's obviously creating an international tension with Venezuela, the United States, and the entire international community. Because then it's a whose side are you on situation. Again, that's why I wonder where this really occurred. Because it's creating that. This incident serves as a reminder, and we have to remember, it's a reminder of the fragile nature of diplomacy in geopolitically in countries that have crazy stuff going on in their country with we have some stuff going on in our country right now. So if you want to look at geopolitical, let's look at geopolitically United States. We have a lot of stuff going on with former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris and President Biden and who's on whose side and is arguing in the streets and people have conversations and they scream at each other. No, you know, that is a politically charged environment. Now, if you think back when we were really having some serious problems, when there were riots in the streets and people marching protests against the police and things, imagine that times 10. Because what we've had here, like George Floyd and other situations similar to that around the nation, yes, they were terrible. They were terrible that human lives were lost, hands down. They were terrible that people acted the way they did afterwards, terrible, damaging buildings and this and that. That is just terrible behavior. But on our worst day here in America, our worst day, folks, will never compare to the political, geopolitical nonsense that's going on in some places. And just, you can't compare. Our worst day in this country is the best day in any of these other countries. And anybody that actually has been on the ground in any other nation and has seen firsthand what goes on in some of these places, you too will understand what I'm telling you, that our worst day here is the best day in most other places. You know, it's just, that's just the way it is. And if you don't know that, trust me when I'm telling you, do a little research, you'll find out. But what's crucial now, this is key, is a peaceful and transparent. I'm going to repeat that. Peaceful and transparent, meaning we need to know how this is going to be fixed, if it can be fixed. And we need to know that process. We have to see it. The world has to see it. Everybody has to see it, because we cannot allow mis or disinformation here. This is a very, very sensitive situation for a nation and for these detainees. Very, very sensitive situation. And there has to be level-headed diplomacy here. You have to take out the nonsense, wipe off the whiteboard, and start putting fresh ink on there and coming up with something that everybody can agree on without any interference. I'm assuming most people went to college. If you went to college, one of your general courses you have to take is effective communication, speech communication, whatever you want to call it, communication 101. And they teach you in communication 101 that, and it sounds stupid, but when I took this course a long time ago, now I teach it, it sounded kind of wild and crazy. This, you know, a speech is like, I say one thing to you, there's two people. And everything around you that gets in the way is considered noise. That's not part of the communication. The communication is A to B, me to you. Anything else sometimes gets mistaken as part of the communication, but it's actually considered noise. Yes, folks, noise. Look that up. So the communication is what was intended out of the speaker's mouth to be heard to the ears of the receiver. Who's the receiver and who is the speaker? That is communication. Everything else is noise. We have to forget and ignore the noise so we can have resolve in any situation, not just this one, any situation. We have to cut the noise out. You're never going to get rid of the noise, folks, but we have to cut it out in the sense of we have to look at what is really going on and what is the purpose here. What is behind the veil? Pull back that curtain and see what it is. Whatever it is, we have to be peaceful about it. We don't want to engage in a war. We don't want other countries to engage in a war. We don't want these detainees, again, using that word detainee, these people, and I'm including the other ones that are not American, because they are not U.S. citizens, but still, they are human beings and they are being detained. So we have to be very delicate in how this is handled, because we don't want it to explode into something else, and we don't want these individuals to get hurt. We want them to be returned to their home in the same way they left. Now, with that said, if they indeed committed a crime in that nation, then hey, it is what it is. Go through the process. As long as it's humane and it's within the legal standards of of their country and what is recognized by everybody else, then hey, you have to, you know, then you have to go through the system. But that's the question. Did they really commit a crime? And we need to be transparent. And this cannot be a blind operation or a covert operation, because people will question what really happened. And with the day in the world that we live in, with social media and the news cycle 24 hours a day, all day long, and the internet at the fingertips, and the average person doesn't know how to actually do proper research. There are proper prompts to use. There are real good research databases that, like I use, Westlaw, LexisNexis, Fast Case, Pacer. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of services. Even Google has one, Google Scholar. I bet a lot of you didn't know that. Google Scholar is Google, but it's for academic and research purposes. And it's free to you folks. It's free. You could download an app specifically for that, or you could just type in Google Scholar, and you'll be surprised what you can find. And you could pretty much rest assured what you get through there is accurate. Kind of like when I research on Westlaw or LexisNexis or Case Text. I've been using that a little bit, and Fast Case. What I get there is actual usable information, actionable information. I know that it's credible. It has the citations in it. That is transparent. We can't have a situation be not transparent when we're talking about people accusing us of espionage and attempting to overthrow a foreign government. That is a serious allegation. And is it, again, I'm going to say, is it an opportunity for an actor, state actor, or anybody to try to throw credibility at us, throw red paint on somebody, as you would say? You want to paint me red? Fine, I'm red, right? So if that's happening, we need to know that. And if we do uncover that, I'm confident that our intelligence and our Department of Defense and our government will be open about that, what we find, because that is the way to be a true democracy. I believe in national security, obviously, but I don't believe that everything needs to be hidden. So we need to have some transparency, but there is a level of that. I could do a whole other episode on too much media exposure, and people see things that they don't understand, especially with like war footage and stuff like that. Unless if you actually know what it is and you've been and seen and study it, it appears different to John Q. Public when they watch it. And it's like anything. You could take a sentence. I'm going to go with it again. Leon Panetta. I commented. It's the third time this week. Leon Panetta, I used a quote from him, an intelligence quote that he used, former intelligence director. And I used it, and the quote could be taken out of context. You have to look at where it derived and what was actually being said. Going back to communication, what was he truly saying from his mouth to the listener, to the person intended to hear that sentence? Everything else is noise. So with that, folks, we love our country. I love our country. You love our country because you're here with me. And, you know, we're as patriotic as we can be. We try to be. And we are compassionate people. So I hope that these people are actually getting the food, shelter, sleep, and all the things that Venezuela is saying that they're doing within the legal standard. I hope they're safe, and I hope that they are released soon, and I hope that this has not turned into a broader problem. With that, we're coming to the close of an episode, folks. And how are we going to close it? Sinati's call to action. Stay vigilant and stay informed, because an informed person is a person that accomplishes things. An informed person is the person you want to hang out with. Stay informed. Pay attention. Do your research. Read. Listen. Pay attention. Always, folks, this is a clear example of how diplomacy, if it's not handled properly, is a thin line between diplomacy and an all-out crisis. So we must be informed. The people that are going to engage in this diplomacy must be informed to avert a crisis. Hands down. As always, 180 forward, 180 backwards, 360, your head on a swivel, and it's 365 days a year. You are paying attention 365 days a year because you never know what's going to happen. Danger and bad actors don't take a day off. We can't either. Folks, I really do thank you very much for coming to the show. As always, we appreciate your emails. Keep continuing to reach out. I really do thank you. If you did not get a response, continue. We will. There's a long list of people who want to be on the show. Yes, we're going through that as well. Special thanks again to my executive producer, Carrie Seabrook Films. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful work. Thank you so much. Thank you to Angelo and the rest of the team over there in the box. You guys are great. And you are the reason, the people I named and you guys that are listening, you're the reason why we are a successful show. Special thanks again to Bianca C-S-E-A, who is not here because she's recording, but she still contributes with her songs and the national anthem, even as she's recording. So special thanks to her. And before we get to Miss Bianca closing us out, we're going to go to the historical quote of the day, the closing quote. Diplomacy is the art of telling people to go to hell. To go to hell in such a way that they'll ask you for directions. Love it. Winston Churchill. Love that quote. Literally, it's kind of what I said before. One word can change an entire sentence. Diplomacy is telling somebody to F off and screw themselves. And you've done it, and they don't even know that that's what you meant. And they follow up asking you, how do I go ahead and do it? How do I get there? Great quote. Churchill reminds us of the delicate dance that we play. And that it's a delicate dance that diplomacy demands. And especially when you're dealing with the lives of international people who potentially were trying to do something good. Thank you again, folks. Now, on a lighter note, our funny joke of the day. And I'm going to direct this to Carrie, executive producer. You ready, Carrie? You there, Carrie?
It'd be better if the mic was on.
All right. So, Carrie, did you enjoy the show today?
Yes.
Thank you. Good, good. We like when you're involved in the show a little bit. It's fun. You should talk more. I know you're very, very, very big executive director, but I want to hear from you a little bit in the show, you know, other than you yelling at me off camera on how to do it better. Anyway, so ready for the joke, Carrie?
Yes.
Why don't secret agents ever get caught when they play hide and seek? Good question. Ah, good joke. Think.
Do they have an invisibility cloak?
Oh, come on. That was, you could do better than that. Because good luck finding them. They're on the cover. Ah, boom. Oh, folks, thank you for coming to Hostile Zone. Another episode is concluded. We're going to take it right to Bianca C, who's going to take us out with honor, pride, and glory. See you tomorrow night, folks. Thank you.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air, get through the night, that a flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner